Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
I'm going to be bringing a message tonight that was really in my spirit, and it may be in my spirit for one of two reasons. One, there's tons of Christians that are dealing with this issue in their life, and maybe, just maybe, a lot of Christians don't know how to deal with it biblically. Number two, I've dealt with this issue in my life recently. And it's made me dive into the Word of God to figure out how to deal with it biblically. So as I dove into the Word of God to figure out how to deal with it biblically, then God laid it on my heart since I was speaking tonight to bring to you what I learned. So is that okay tonight? So I know normally as our Wednesday night services are life application services. However, around here at Crystal River Church of God, it's real hard to have a service that we don't preach. However, tonight I've got a carefully constructed teaching for you. So I hope you brought some notepads, especially if anybody in this room is dealing with anxiety. If anybody in here has dealt with anxiety, the title of the message tonight, Mike, is When Anxiety Attacks. When Anxiety Attacks. How many of you know that anxiety can cripple you? Anxiety can be something that's very light. It could be something you could be on a plane, on a flight, and all of a sudden a little bit of turbulence hits and some anxiety comes in, right? And then as soon as it came in, it goes away, right? That's a little bit of anxiety. But then sometimes there are situations and things that happen in your life where anxiety attacks and does not let go. Anxiety grabs a hold of you and hangs on. Right, and a lot of Christians experience this because I think anxiety is a large tool that the devil uses to try to make Christians incapacitated to deal in culture and to spread the gospel. Because if you're riddled with anxiety, you're not leaving your house probably. Or if you're riddled with anxiety, you're not going to open your mouth and talk to somebody that you don't really know. So the enemy tries to cripple you in that way so that A, you don't live your best life that you're called to live right now. And B, you don't bring anybody else into their best life that they're called to live. Because the best life is walking in trust and love with our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our best life. Our best life, our pastor's favorite scripture, it's right here on the front of the pulpit, is John 10:10, to live life and live life abundantly. But we can't live life abundantly when we're riddled with anxiety. So I want to do an in-depth teaching tonight, and I hope I have enough time. I'm actually starting my timer right now. So I don't keep you late. So if I run out of time, I just run out of time. But I'm going to give you as much of this as I can in the next 45 minutes. Is that all right? Okay. So we all deal with anxiety, but sometimes it cripples us. How many know in our next slide that anxiety is actually one of the acceptable sins in Christian culture today? Right? And you say, well, it's not in the top 10. Well, there's many sins that aren't in the top 10, right? There's the top 10, and then there's many sins. How many of you know that a sin is just disobeying God's word? Right? If God told you to do something, God never physically spoke to me and told me, you know, not to have anxiety. No, but it's all through Scripture. Right? All through Scripture. So God speaks to us two ways, right? He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through your heart. Sometimes miracles occur and God speaks audibly to people, although that's very rare. But the most easy access to God that we have, and the clearest access to God that we have, is right here in Scripture. It's right here in our Word. So some Christians need to know, hey, why do I need to read my Bible? Why should I bring my Bible with me to church? Why should I carry a Bible with me? Why should I read it? Why should I get up and spend time in the Bible in the morning? Because that is the clearest way to hear from God for what He wants for your life. So one thing that we know, and I know from studying this, is anxiety is not something that God wants in your life. A matter of fact, he commands that you don't have anxiety. He commands that you don't worry, that you don't fear. He commands those things. So when we don't do what God tells us to do, it is a sin, right? But Grandma Ethel still sits at home and says, hey, that's just my job. Right. My job is to sit around and worry. My job is to worry about the kids and worry about the bills and worry about the president and worry about the country and worry about the politics and worry about the grandkids and worry about what we're going to eat next week and worry if I'm going to have a Social Security check next month. And that's what we're called to do, right? And some people feel like it's their job to worry. My mom and dad, I love them to death, and they'll probably watch this, but they worry all the time. And they'll call me up and go, oh, I just wanted to hear your voice because we was worried. Right, I love you, Mom and Dad, but that's not what you're called to do. That's not what you're called to do. And there's lots of mom and dads in this room, probably like my wife and I, that worry about your kids, right? And it's hard to get out of that. And especially if there's something going on in your life that you have real reason to worry. You have real reason to have anxiety, right? Sometimes things happen and you're like, man, I've got a reason for it, right? God's okay with that, right? It's worrying without a reason that God is commanding us not to do, right? No. God didn't command us just to worry when we don't have a reason. He's commanded us not to worry if there's a reason or not, right? And we're going to get into what that looks like. Now, in my life, I tend to not deal with a lot of worry and anxiety, right? That's just not something I've dealt with in my life a whole lot, except for two things in my life. When something's going on with one of my kids, I get riddled with some anxiety. When something happened in the past in my wife and I's marriage, I got riddled with anxiety. So what are the, why is the reason that I get riddled in anxiety in those areas, but I may not get riddled in the anxiety of finances, right? I don't get anxious over finances. That if they come, if they go, okay, you know, I'm not that worried about it. But if something happens to my kids or my wife, I get worried about it. Why is that? It's because these are areas in my life that I'm trying to control, right? And the areas in your life that you're trying to control are they'd be the areas in your life that you're going to have the most anxiety in. So that's what we're going to jump into tonight. So there may be some people in this room, you may be dealing with some anxiety, and then there may be some people in here that are under anxiety attack, like riddled with it. Like there's times that you've become so paralyzed, maybe you hyperventilate, but you have anxiety and you can't physically move. Some people can't physically move when they're riddled with anxiety. They can't get out of bed. They can't think about anything else except that problem that's causing them anxiety. They no longer see a hope. They no longer see a future. And it consumes them like they're in the middle of a tornado. Like they're in the center of it and they're completely still, but everything around them is destruction and everything around them is flying. And everywhere they look, they just see destruction, they see pain, and they are afraid that if they reach out or they take a step in any direction, they're going to get swept up in it, right? And it immobilizes them. It immobilizes them in fear. So how, next slide, guys, how can you experience God's peace in the middle of any of this? How is that possible? How is it possible to experience God's peace in the middle of an anxiety-riddled situation that you feel like you have absolutely no control over? You don't know how to go in any direction because you're scared to step and you're scared to move and you're scared to speak. You're scared to do anything. How in the world can you experience God's peace in the middle of that? Right? Today, there was a lot of fear over the storm coming into Citrus County. There was a lot of anxiety. Matter of fact, some people are probably watching on live stream because they were too anxious to get in their car and drive to church, right? Well, by the time church started, we're good, right? There's nothing really going on out there. 19 started to get some water in it, and then by the time most church folks came in, it was gone, right? By the time most people drove up, it was gone. But there was people that got so anxious about what was going to happen today. They were worried. They were fearful about what was going to happen. And it may have caused some people to stay home from church, right? And maybe some of those people aren't even tuned in. And maybe some of those people need to deal with anxiety in their life. And the devil just cost them a sermon that may have delivered them from what they needed. Amen? Can I speak truth tonight? However, all of you guys, you braved the storm. Y'all got your galoshes on, and you got out your umbrellas. You got in the highest sitting vehicle you had, and you rode on into church. Amen. So that's what we're doing. So how can we experience God's peace in the middle of any of this? Next slide. We need to learn about what anxiety actually is, number one. Number one, we need to really focus on what it actually is. It's not just a feeling, but we need to know what it actually is. Number two, we need to learn a biblical way exactly how to experience his peace in the midst of anxiety. So we need to focus on what anxiety is and how to get his peace in the middle of it. What is anxiety and how do I find his peace? So if we focus on those two things tonight, that's all we need to overcome anxiety in our life. Don't we? Right? Well, there's a third part to it. We have to leave here and we have to apply what we learn. Right? Because the scripture said you got to be doers of the word, not hearers only, right? Me and Becky had that conversation this afternoon. You got to be doers of the word, not hearers only, because a man who hears the word and immediately walks away and doesn't apply it to his life is like a man who looks in the mirror and walks away and immediately forgets what he looked like, right? Because nothing will change in your life. If you're in here today and you struggle with a little bit of anxiety, or you struggle with a whole lot of anxiety, and you listen to this sermon, you amen me real loud, and every once in a while you jump up and give me one of these, but you walk out of here tonight and you don't apply any of this to your life, it's worthless. You walk out of here tonight and Monday morning when that anxiety hits, you go back to your old way of dealing with things, then it's worthless. Then you just wasted a couple of hours of your time sitting here listening to this if you don't apply it to your life. So there is a third part to it. So one, we need to learn what anxiety actually is. Two, we need to learn a biblical way to actually deal with the anxiety in our lives. And three is not on the slides, but you need to put it into action when you leave here today. So point number one tonight is this. Anxiety is a fear of uncertainty that causes emotional unrest. Anxiety is a fear of uncertainty that causes emotional unrest. The Bible tells us not to fear. How many times? Anybody know? That's a bunch. Right, there was a guy who preached a really good sermon one time and said, the Bible tells you not to fear 365 times, and it's one time for every day of the year, and he was dead wrong. It's not in there 365 times. Right? It sounded really good, and a lot of people repeated it on Facebook, but it was dead wrong. It's not in there 365 times. However, what would you say if God told you not to fear 100 times? Would you say that was important? Because just about in every version of the Bible, it says do not fear in some way or another over 100 times. Right? So if God tells you not to fear 100 times, Thank you, sir. We'll see how we end up. Right? No, I ain't gonna tell y'all what it said. So if God tells you to do something 100 times, do you think he means it? Right? And why does God give us rules to begin with? Is it because he just likes to give us rules? Is it because he likes to squash your fun? He gives us rules for our own good, right? And if God tells you not to fear, do not fear, have no fear, if it says that in the Bible over 100 times, no matter which version you pick up, it's probably for good reason, because it's in your best interest to obey his word in this way. Amen? So anxiety is a fear of uncertainty that causes emotional unrest. Causes of anxiety come in three different ways. Okay, this may not be an exhaustive list, but this is a list that I came up with, and there's three different ways, but there's probably 110 different subcategories. All right, but I'm not going to hit on all those tonight, so don't get nervous. Number one, fear of the future. Fear of the future. Anxiety hits tons of people. I guarantee you, in that baccalaureate service, when Pastor Rob was up here preaching last Sunday afternoon, there was tons of graduates here that deep down inside, maybe some of them know exactly what they're doing and where they're going, but there's probably some of them that have no clue what they're going to do next week. Some of them have no clue where they're going, and there's some anxiety in there because they have a fear of the future. Well, some of us as Christians sit here today, and we have anxiety because we have a fear of the future. We have a fear of failure. Maybe you secretly have a fear of failing God, a fear of messing up in your Christian walk. Maybe you have a fear of failure in life. Maybe you fear failure in your job. Maybe you fear failure in whatever it is that you do, but you may have a fear of failure. Some people, and I wrote this before what happened in the last couple of days, but some people have a deadly fear of terrorist attack. Right, the terrorists have done a great job of wreaking fear and havoc all across the world, right? And they've come in and attacked when people least expect it. And God be with those people that in Manchester, as at the attack at that concert where there was 22 dead and a bunch hurt just recently. But those things getting in the news cause some people to not even go to church, because they get so riddled with anxiety, they decide to sit home because they're scared to death that it just might happen to them. And God hasn't called you to walk around scared to death of an Islamic terrorist attack. God hasn't called you to that life. God has called you to a life of abundance. God's called you to a life of freedom. God's called you to a life of love. He's not called you to a life of fear. Matter of fact, his word says that God has not given you a spirit of what? But of what? Okay, we got all off track. I'll do it again. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us, now y'all messed me up, but of power, love, and a what? and a sound mind. So with power and love, those two things are great. But the third thing that goes in with what we're speaking today is a sound mind. Because the opposite of a sound mind is a mind riddled with fear. The opposite of a sound mind is a mind riddled with anxiety. The opposite of a sound mind is a mind riddled with the cares of this world, intertwined in the cares of this world. So you have fear of failure, fear of terrorist attack. How about fear of economic failure or downturn or a job loss? You just go to work every day scared that you might lose your job. You go to work every day. Now, it's good to have a little healthy fear of that. You don't want to go to work and just not even work hard because you know, that's not what I'm saying. You work hard. You go to work and you put in your time. But to go to work and give it your best and still come home fearful of losing your job every day, that's not what God's called you to do. That's not what God's called you to life to live. So how about this fear that your kids won't turn out right? Right, the Bible gives us promises. The Bible says a child raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, when they're old, they won't depart from it. Right? So we have to hold on to God's promises, or we can hold on to our fear that our kids won't turn out right. Right? So you can hold on to fear, or you can hold on to God's promises. How about some of y'all in this room might be fearful of being single forever? Yeah? Y'all want to do a little speed dating real quick? No, I'm not going to take my time with that. I'm sorry. Not going to do that. All right? But some of y'all might be sitting here today, and that might be on your mind every day. Every day at some point. It might not be the first thing on your mind when you wake up, but every day at some point when you see another couple or you see somebody married or you see another marriage announcement on Facebook, you might have a fear of being single for the rest of your life because you're scared to death that God will never bring you the right person. Right? That's a fear, and that's not of God. That's of the enemy. Some of y'all might have a fear that your marriage won't survive. You may be in a marriage that's struggling or have some turmoil, and you have a fear, you have an anxiety every day that it won't survive. That's not from God. You get your mind right, you get in sound mind, and your marriage has a lot better chance of surviving. If you're riddled in fear and anxiety, you're probably right. Your marriage is probably going to struggle. But you get in sound mind and you start walking in power and love, then that is going to change everything for your outlook. That's going to change your focus, right? We're a church where you can find what? Focus for living, right? And where do you find focus for living? Through God, right? God's number one there. So walking around in fear is not what God intended. So number one is fear of the future. Number two is conflict in personal relationships. Conflict in personal relationships is another major cause of anxiety. If you're struggling in that marriage, like I just hit on, right? Or you're struggling in your relationship with your kids. If your relationship with your kids is rough, how many of you know that can cause some serious fear and anxiety? That can cause some issues if you and your kids aren't on the same page, if you and your kids are struggling. You may be struggling with a roommate, or you may be struggling with a parent, or you may be struggling with a friend, right? But if you have a relationship in your life that's personally in turmoil, that's going to wreak anxiety. That's going to cause anxiety. So that's another cause of anxiety. The next one is regrets over your past. So these are three major ways, right? And the third way is regrets over your past. Now, some people may have anxiety because they're worried that things they did in their past may come out, right? They're worried that maybe something they used to do might come out and people might learn about it or know about it. Or they might learn what you're doing right now in the dark, in the corner, in the back. Right? Not in the back of this room. That was an old joke, but... They might be worried. You might be worried about what you've got going on right now. You might have some secret sin in your life, and it's causing you anxiety because you haven't dealt with it yet, right? So not only fear of regrets over things in the past, but regrets over what you may be doing right now. You may be worried that eventually God is going to punish you for your sins in the past. How many of you know that's not biblical? If you get it covered under the blood, God's not going to punish you from the sins of your past. If you come to God with a repentant heart and you mean it, I don't mean you just said, I'm sorry I got caught, but you say, God, I'm sorry that I broke your heart. God, I'm sorry that I broke your commandments. I'm sorry that I sinned against you, and I'm sorry of the pain I caused you, God, and I'm sorry of the pain I caused others, and it gets covered under the blood. God says he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, and he doesn't bring that back up, but you know who does? The enemy. So if you have anxiety over sins of your past, you know who's bringing it up? It ain't God. It's the enemy. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. So the enemy gets in your ear, and the enemy accuses you over your past. And because you hear those words, you don't tell Satan to shut up. You begin to speak those words, and you begin to come into turmoil inside, right? And that's all over stuff that is covered under the blood. The enemy can get you twisted up. You can't let him do that. How about you view yourself as unworthy or not a child of God because of things in the past? So maybe you have anxiety every time you step into church because secretly down inside you feel like you don't deserve to be here because the enemy has twisted you up, because the enemy has brought up all of your past, because the enemy has lied to you about things that have happened in your past. Every time you walk into a church service, you come here, by the grace of God, you get here and you get in a seat, but you feel unworthy to be here. I want everybody in this room, if there's anybody in this room that feels this way, to know that is not from God. That in no way, shape, or form is from God. That is totally from the enemy. God wants you here. God wants you in worship. God wants you to take it to a new level. God wants you to start walking out in abundant life. God does not want you cowered in a corner, worried about the things of your past, when God says, I can forgive those in an instant because my son already died on a cross, already spilled his blood, already took the lashes, already took all of the pain that it took to cover that sin. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. But you know what the enemy will do? The enemy will sneak in. The enemy will begin to tell you that you're not worthy of God covering your sins. That's what the enemy does. So the enemy will come in and say, you're not worthy of taking this to God because I know this about you, and I know this about you, and I know this about you. And then you know what happens? If you allow him to get a foothold in your mind, then you don't take these things to God. And you don't get them dealt with, and you can't find peace, and you can't find his love, and you can't find his joy, and you're riddled in anxiety because the enemy has you twisted. Right? But we're going to talk about how to get rid of that. That's where we're going to go tonight. So the next one is anxiety. In classic Greek, literally means a divided mind. A divided mind. Goes right back to that scripture, right? God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Anxiety in ancient Greek literally means a divided mind. It means your part of your mind is going one direction, the other part is going another, and you don't know what to think, and you don't know what to believe. It's literally a divided mind. So let's talk about some clues that you may be dealing with anxiety tonight. Okay, here's some clues that you may be dealing with anxiety. You're hyper alert, right? Looking everywhere. You're hyper alert. You're hyper cautious. You're watching around every corner, right? Paranoid, maybe. You're irritable. Anybody irritable tonight? You're like, I am after this message. Anybody irritable? Right? How about fidgety? They just came out with fidget spinners. Does anybody know what a fidget spinner is? Anybody seen a kid walking around spinning something in their hand? That's a fidget spinner, right? They're for kids who can't sit still. But like somehow every kid had to have one, right? They designed them for kids that were like ADD and HD, you know? They designed them for kids like that. However, every kid now has a fidget spinner, and they're walking around spinning these things, right? I saw a thing on Facebook today. It said somewhere across the planet right now, there's a man in a man bun wearing a man romper with a fidget spinner in one hand and a vape cigarette in the other. That'll blow your mind, won't it? Somewhere on this planet. Now, we just pray that we don't run into them. But somewhere on this planet, there's that. So hyper alert, irritable, fidgety, over-dependent. You can't make your own decisions. You're worried about every decision. You need somebody else to step in for everything that you have going on in your life. You're over-dependent. You talk too much. Woo! And some of the husbands said, my wife might be dealing with anxiety. My father-in-law Charles used to say about my wife that no, he didn't say it about, oh, he did say it. He said about you. And am I allowed to say who else? No. He used to say about my wife that she talked 40 miles an hour with gusts up to 70. So maybe over-dependent, maybe you talk too much. How about this one? Difficulty sleeping. Right? Maybe not all of these are you, but some of these may be you, right? Everybody deals with anxiety different. Difficulty sleeping, concentration impaired. You can't concentrate. Every time you go to do a task, it's squirrel. Right? You can't concentrate. You can't focus on something. You look at somebody in the face and they're talking to you, but you didn't hear a word they said. Right? Your eyes are focused on them. Their eyes are focused on you. You're 12 inches, maybe 14 inches apart, because you got to have some space there for bad breath. If you're 14 inches apart and they're talking to you, and you heard the first three words and tuned right out. Right? That's concentration impaired. Poor memory. Poor memory could be a sign that you're dealing with anxiety. How about immobilized with depression? Immobilized with depression. I know some Christians lately that have been mobilized with depression, and that's a sign of high anxiety. Here's the symptoms of high anxiety: headaches, quivering voice, constant sighing. What is that? That's constant sighing. Hyperventilation. Has anybody ever hyperventilated? I have once. It's not fun, right? That's a major symptom of high anxiety. Abdominal pain. Nausea. Diarrhea. Butterflies. High blood pressure. High heart rate. Unexplained fainting. Frequent urination. I have done the research for you so that you didn't have to dig through the piles of research to come up with these. Frequent urination is on that list. Does that mean your anxiety heightens as you get older? Here's the next two. It gets worse. Impotence. Frigidity. Yeah, I'm just going to leave that right there. Now, here's long-term effects, okay? We got clues you're dealing with anxiety. We got symptoms from high anxiety. Now, here's long-term effects of high anxiety. Underlying cause of many psychological problems, including neurosis, psychosis, physiopsychological disorders, and almost every phobia. It comes as a result of long-term high anxiety that's not dealt with. Wow. Which brings me to my next slide. Anxiety is not good for you. Said Captain Obvious. Right? You can call me Pastor Obvious tonight. Anxiety is not good for you. How many of you, if you're dealing with any of these symptoms, would want those symptoms to go away pretty quick, right? That's not something you want to deal with, right? So if we're dealing with these symptoms, we want them to go away. Now here in Mark chapter 4, and you don't have to turn there. I'm going to be gone pretty quick, and we will get to Scripture in a minute. We're going to get to the biblical portion of this. So don't think that's just a talk tonight. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about the four conditions of the heart that don't allow seed sown to flourish, right? That don't allow seed sown to flourish. Well, number four that he talks about is now these are the ones that were sown among thorns. This is in verse 18 of Mark chapter 4. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Cares of this world in Mark chapter 4 is another word for anxieties. So how do you know that's another word for anxieties? Because the Greek word that we talked about which literally means a divided mind, is merimna, if I pronounce that right, right? Which means anxiety, which was translated in Mark chapter 4 to cares. Now, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and you can take it in your notes, I may be gone by the time you get there, but if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, read like this: Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Right? Now, there's two cares in that sentence, right? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But those are two different Greek words in the original translation, right? Those are two different Greek words. That first care, casting all your care upon him, is that word merimna. That word merimna derives from two different Greek words. The first one means mero, and I've said it kind of with a Spanish accent. I'm pretty sure Greeks didn't do that. And the second word is nous. So mero and nous means divided mind. That's what it means. So God is telling you in different parts of Scripture the same thing multiple times. And we find that if we study the Bible, right? God is telling you in different parts of Scripture the same thing. In Mark chapter 4, he's telling you that the cares of this world, the divided mind, the anxieties of this world will choke out any fruitfulness that you have in your life. So what he's saying is the anxieties of this world, although you come to church and pastor preaches a message that hits home with you, but you leave here and you allow the thorns and the thicket and all the weeds of the anxieties of your life to choke out any seeds that pastor planted in your life, and then they don't bear fruit. And some of you wonder why you're in the same situation over and over and over and over and over again. And pastor has preached on it 110,000 times in the 10 years you've been coming here. But man, I just cannot seem to get this right in my life, because he is sowing the seed, but you're allowing the enemy to use those thorns and the bushes to choke out that seed so that it never comes forth and produces fruit in your life. So do you see, there's all kinds of symptoms to anxiety that we don't like to hear, but there are spiritual symptoms to anxiety as well. You have the physical symptoms, and then you have the spiritual symptoms. You have the upset stomach and the diarrhea and everything else that goes with it. But then you have that your life is not producing fruit. Jesus cursed a tree that didn't produce fruit, and it withered up and died. Right? We're called as Christ followers, as people who follow Jesus, to produce fruit in our life. But if you're allowing the enemy to use anxiety to choke out the seed will never turn into a tree and it will never produce fruit. It will never happen. So why, Pastor Steve, am I dealing with the same situation over and over and over again? Why, Pastor Steve, am I still struggling in this issue in my life 10 years after I gave my heart to Christ? Because you're not specifically and biblically dealing with the anxieties and the cares of this world to get them sent out of your life so that you can produce fruit and start living a Christian life. That's why. So what do we do about it? We're getting there, right? So Jesus talks about these four conditions of the heart. He talks about this one getting choked out. The cares of the world, we know, are anxieties. So what do? God doesn't want you up all night with stomach acid rolling. God doesn't want you up all night pouring Tums down your throat because you can't sleep because the stomach acid is so bad as a result of the high anxiety that you're carrying. God doesn't want you that way. But you know what we do as Christians? Rather than deal with it biblically and in prayer and spiritually, we self-medicate. And not just Christians, but people. So what do we get when we self-medicate? We get artificial peace. Right? We get artificial peace when we self-medicate. How do people self-medicate? Alcohol. If I drink just enough of this, then those things that are racing through my mind are going to go away. If I drink just enough of this, then that feeling in my gut, in my stomach, that something is wrong is going to go away and I'm going to be able to enjoy my day. Alcohol. How about misusing your pain pills? Man, I know I'm only supposed to take two of these a day, but man, if I take two more, I'm not going to feel like this. And you self-medicate and you pop an extra pill. And maybe they're not legal medication. Maybe it's a legal medication that you're taking. Right? And you're abusing these things to get fake peace. It's not the peace of God, it's the peace of addiction. It's not the peace of God, it's the peace of the enemy. Right? We're throwing away the peace of God and trying to do that with fake peace, and then we wonder why we get no results. We wonder why nothing changes, because as soon as the alcohol wears off, as soon as the pain pill wears off, we're right back where we started. Right? Okay, here's a third one. The first two may not apply to you. Food. Am I allowed to say that in church? Am I allowed to say overeating is a sin? I'm guilty. And not just you, I'm guilty, right? Food. We use food to self-medicate for anxiety. You're feeling upset. You don't know what's going to help. You go to the kitchen. You eat 5 bowls of Lucky Charms. You go to the kitchen. You eat 5 bowls of ice cream. Right? You go to the kitchen, and you start tearing into the biscuits from last night. Right? Right? You have anxiety, and you try to deal with the anxiety by overeating. Right? It's the same thing. Alcohol, pain pills, food, overeating. Here's the next one. Don't get up and walk out on me. Shopping. Man, if I got high anxiety, if I go spend some money, that anxiety goes away for a little while because I got a happiness high. I got some new shoes, happiness high, kicking. Right? I got a new purse, happiness high, kicking. Right? Shopping. There ain't nothing wrong with shopping. But if you're using shopping to mask your anxiety, there's something wrong with that because you're putting shopping in a place where Jesus deserves to be. You're putting shopping on the pedestal that Jesus should be in your life, right? Here's the fifth one, mindless entertainment. TV, movies, social media. Smartphones. Video games. I can say that one with a smile because that's not my issue, right? Mindless entertainment. So we go, and if we can check out for a little while and we can live somebody else's life on the screen for an hour and 15 minutes, then we don't have to think about our own issues and we don't have to deal with them. And when that one's over, there's a new thing now called binge watching. Anybody that has Netflix or has Hulu or has any kind of subscription TV service, and you can binge watch show after show after show after show. Now, I have binge watched, and I binge watched when I haven't had anxiety. I'm just had a day off, and I didn't want to think about nothing else. You know, and I'll watch a whole season of something or 3 or 4 seasons of something and then go to bed, right? I've done that before. But I've also had high anxiety before, and rather than go spend my time in the prayer closet with God, I went and laid down on the couch with a remote and checked out and didn't have to deal with it. So mindless entertainment can be that way, too. Number 6. Don't shoot the messenger. Pornography, sexual addiction. Those are ways that we try to medicate our anxieties. Point number 2 tonight is this. God's promise is that you never have to allow anxiety to overtake you again. That's his promise. Now Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, right? But take heart. Because I have overcome the world. God's promise is not that you will never feel anxious again. God's promise is not that nothing will ever arise in your life that gives you anxiety again. God's promise is that you never have to allow anxiety to take over your life again. That when anxiety hits, he has a recipe to get that anxiety out of your life so that you don't have to deal with that again. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Some of you probably have the scripture highlighted in your Bible. Some of you may have it underlined. My little adorable cute wifey, every time Pastor preaches on a scripture and he says underline this, she'll elbow me to show me that it was already underlined. She's like, I already got that. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 reads like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, one technique to study the Bible is to look at a scripture that you're studying and ask 3 questions. Number 1, what does it say? Simple, right? What does it say? Just simple observation, simple grammar. What does it say? Number 2, what does it mean? Because how many of you know sometimes in scripture it says something but means something completely different, right? There's oddball scriptures out there about not muzzling an ox that's turning the grain, right? And that actually means not to withhold pay from somebody doing the Lord's work, right? So it may say something, but it may mean something totally different. And that happens in the Bible. That's why we have to study it, not just read it. That's why we have to do studies on it and word studies and apply it to our life and actually dissect it and not just read it. Because sometimes just reading it won't be enough. You need to meditate on it. You need to dissect it. So what does it say is observation and grammar. What does it mean is dissection. What does it say? But what does it actually mean? And then number three, what does it mean to me? How many of you have read a scripture 100,000 times? Well, maybe not 100,000 times, but you've read a scripture like 50 times. And the 51st time you read it, you went, aha, right? That's because in that moment that you read that scripture, there was something going on in your life that made that scripture applicable to your life. And that's why you had that aha moment. So even though you've read the scripture 50 times, you weren't going through what you're going through now 50 times ago. But now, because you read it again and because in light of what you're going through, you have an aha moment. That's why scripture is alive. And that's why just because you may have read your one-year Bible one year doesn't mean you never have to pick it up again and read it again. Amen. You need to read it every day. And maybe you read the same book of the Bible 100 times before you get an aha moment on one piece of scripture that God gives you revelation for your life. Right? So what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? So in this scripture, let's dissect this scripture and talk about it for just a second. The first thing it says is be anxious for nothing. That is a negative command. Okay? It gives a negative command and then it gives a positive command. And you say, well, what is that? Does that mean it's a bad command and a good command? No. What a negative command means is to stop doing something. And a positive command is to start doing something, right? That's all that means. So in a negative command, he said, stop being anxious. Stop it. Stop it. Can you stop it? Can you? Anybody in this room anxious tonight? Are you dealing with an issue? Stop it. Can you stop it on your own? Can you deal with it on your own? That's why it moves into the next part of the scripture. So you have the negative command, which is stop being anxious, and then the positive command. And the positive command says pray about what? Everything. Does that mean just the things that you choose to pray about? Does that mean just the things that you want to bring up to God? God, I'm going to pray about these things because I'm okay with talking to you about that. I'm saving this stuff for later. I'm not okay with talking. It says pray about everything, every anxiety, every care, every concern, every issue, everything that's going on in your life, pray about it. So stop being anxious is number one. Can you stop forever on your own? No, you may be able to stop for a moment. And then number two is the positive command, pray about everything. And then the third thing it gives you, are you in these slides, guys? You're not with me. Skip through a couple. Next. And the third thing it gives you, next, there we go, promise. This is the promise, right? You have a negative command, you have a positive command, and then you have the promise. So if you stop being anxious and you start praying about the situation, the peace of God, which you cannot understand, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which you won't even understand, will guard your hearts and minds. We look at the peace of God as this floating, odd thing that's just out there, right? It's just random. But this scripture takes the peace of God and personifies it in your life. It takes the peace of God from this random feeling that's out there and places it in guard over your hearts and over your minds. So it takes the peace of God and makes it guard your hearts and minds through who? Through Christ Jesus. So if we take the scripture and we don't just read it, we don't just quote it, we just don't lightly skim over it, but we actually apply it to our lives and we actually do what it says. So in that moment when we're anxious, we stop being anxious, we pray about everything, and then God has a promise. If you stop being anxious, you take a moment and you bring it before me and you pray about it, I promise you that my peace, the peace of God, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That means that you don't have to allow that to overtake your life. You don't have to allow anxiety to sideline you. You don't have to allow anxiety to take you out. But you can ask God to step into the situation, and through His peace, He can guard your heart and mind from further attack of the enemy and get you back on track. Amen? Is anybody tracking? Am I too much information tonight? Okay. I only got about 6 more pages. We're almost good. No, I don't really. So that brings us to this point, that prayer is God's antidote to anxiety. So there's such a thing as anxiety. We'll always deal with it, but there's an antidote for it, and that's biblical prayer. Next slide, guys. Biblical ordered prayer and anxiety cannot coexist. I'm going to say that again just to make sure it sinks in. Biblical ordered prayer and anxiety cannot coexist. What does that mean? That means if I'm reeling with anxiety, if I'm dealing with this issue, if I'm going through a divorce, if I'm going through a situation, if I feel left behind, if my kids are messing up, if this is happening, if this is happening, if I'm losing my job, if my finances are going down the drain, whatever is going on in my life is causing me to be anxious and causing me to lose control of myself, and it's causing me to have all of these issues and all of these symptoms and causing my mind to be divided, that I can take all of that and get rid of it through biblical ordered prayer. I can take all of that and get rid of it through biblical ordered prayer. See, sometimes we pray about our problems, but we're only completing one part of biblical ordered prayer. And usually that part is complaining. Usually that part is whining. Oh, Lord! You don't even know what they did to me. Yes, He does. He's God. He saw it. Lord, I can't take another day of how they treated me. Lord, is it okay to talk to God like that? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's called lamenting. There's a whole book on it in the Bible, Lamentations, right? It's called lamenting, right? That's the whining book in the Bible, right? It's okay. Because God says, man, sometimes it's going to whine, right? Sometimes you just got to go to God and whine about what's going on in your life. But that's where some of us stop. We go to God and we whine for 15 seconds, 20 seconds, and they go, whoo, okay, I hope He does something about it. And God's going, see you later. You didn't finish the prayer. You didn't do what biblical ordered prayer, you didn't do the rest of it. You whined and you walked off. Let me ask you this, guys. If your kids came to you and whined about something for 15 seconds and stomped off, are you going to do anything about it? Probably not. Especially if they don't ask you to. All they did was come to you and whine about the situation. My sister stole all my clothes, and now she's wearing them, and she won't take them off, and blah, 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 blah. Ah! And then stomp off and slam the door. Right? And you go, okay. They never asked you to do anything about it, and that's what we do to God. We come to God, and we whine, and we complain, and we lament. And my timer just went off. We whine, and we complain, and we lament. But we don't do anything about it. Can I take you up on that, Pastor? Okay. Next week, next Wednesday night, I'm going to complete this, and we're going to jump into what to do about it. This is like the news, isn't it? All right? Anybody ever heard Larry the Cable Guy? He goes, learn how to protect yourself tonight at 11. He goes, now what if something happens to be about 9:30? So we covered anxiety to a T tonight, and next Wednesday night we're going to jump in how to deal with it. What is biblical ordered prayer? How are we going to deal with it? And we'll get to the bottom of that. Some homework. This is some homework. You ain't supposed to give homework from the pulpit. Hey, listen. This is Bible study. Okay? This is homework. Print out. Don't rip it out of your Bible. Print it out on a computer or somewhere. Philippians 4:6-7. And this is something that's kind of cool, too. And I don't know, maybe Brian Cutshaw got on me when he was here, but this was kind of neat. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 talks about cares, and then Philippians 4, 6, and 7 talks about anxieties, and 6 is the number of man and his problems and his sin and his loss, and then 7 is the perfection of God. That's just kind of cool. I don't know if that means anything. I just think it's kind of cool. Right, so both of those are 6 and 7, and we're lost in our sin until we apply God to it, and then it brings about a perfected situation. I just think that's kind of cool. So 6 and 7, take that, print it out, and stick it somewhere where you see it every day, and then read it. And if you're going through anxiety, ask the Holy Spirit to begin to talk to you about why you're anxious, and to begin to talk to you about why you're placing that anxiety over and above God in your life. And then next week, next Wednesday night, we're going to dive into how to biblically pray to have the peace of God enter into your anxiety. All right? God bless you guys. Why don't you stand with me tonight?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.